I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone, and welcome to Dice for Roll, the queerest Pathfinder podcast on the planet. We ask the hard questions like, what happens if you ship of Theseus an awakened object?
Well, does it happen before or after they're awakened?
After is more interesting.
Well, I guess as long as they keep their consciousness and it's the same person.
But where's the consciousness of the awakened object stored?
I don't know, but if you replace every single object and they are every single part of them and they are still like conscious and you don't have like a second awakened thing, then
now
I suppose that it stays
now
with their
that
form.
You have posited a much more interesting philosophical quandary. Now that is something I want to discuss.
Let's be super simple. If it's an awakened skeleton, if you like crack the skull in half and like gave it to another skeleton, does that make two separate people?
That's called an undead, Ritz. And it's a good question as well.
No, but specifically like a medical skeleton that's made out of plastic.
Okay, but like, yeah, that's a good fucking question. What happens if you, like, just take his hand off? Is his hand not...
I don't know. Where does the consciousness lie, if anywhere at all?
Because it doesn't have to be in the head.
No.
Oh my god, this is actually giving me existential dread. What?
I feel like it's a magic thing, right?
Yeah.
I don't think it's stored in one place because it's magic. It would be, like, the concept of the thing. Like, if, say, for example, I had an awakened, the clips that you put on, that you hold up laundry with, right?
Yeah, some pegs.
That's three pieces. If I replaced the metal part, that would still, it would still be the same thing.
Yeah.
I feel like it would, like, if you replaced every single part at once, I feel like it would just be, I don't think so. But I think you went slow, it'd probably be.
But what
because
happens?
Because it's magic.
Well, what happens to the parts you've discarded? Do they not retain consciousness?
It's like Toy Story and they can feel everything and you made them sad.
In my head, it's more like the concept of this exact object rather than the specific pieces of that object.
What happens if you know those like cool highlighter pens that you can like break apart and stack in different ways? You know the ones?
Yeah.
What happens if you cast Awaken on one of those?
It'd probably be like all of them or something. I don't know.
Wait, there's a really fucking easy example that none of us have thought of somehow, like a doll. What if the doll loses, like, its arm? Is it, like, a human being where it has to get, like, a new one but can't, like, use it the same? Or is it,
does
like, you can just
around?
Give it a new fucking arm?
I'm scared. Can we play Pathfinder?
You brought it up. You asked the fucking question.
This is your question.
I'm scared.
You scared yourself with your own question.
Can we play Pathfinder?
Let's play fucking Pathfinder.
Yeah, we can play Pathfinder. Are you okay?
Okay.
When we last left our adventurers in Abomination Vaults, our heroes experienced a 500 Founders Day festival, a celebration of the creation of the town of Otari. as they interacted with people from around town, learned about its culture, its history, and its inhabitants. They ended the night going to the Drunken Dragon Tavern and sharing a nice drink with each other. However, just as midnight struck, a baleful light coming from the fog fen, the lighthouse of Gauntlight, started to shine, and its awful glow settled upon the Otari graveyard, from which undead now rise, dropping like rain upon the Dawnflower Temple below. And it is up to our three brave heroes to save the day.
Now, everyone, are you up to saving the day?
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
Well, let's get the show on the road. Ulrich, Fiore, and Silk. The three of you are running. You make your way through the streets of Otari, which are lit only by the glow of, like, shops still open at this hour. As you cross the river, making your way down towards the beach which the Dawnflower Temple sits upon, you all have different faces with grave expressions on. Something terrible is happening. And whatever it is, it's coming from that lighthouse you explored. And there are many questions, I'm sure, racing through your minds, but right now, only one objective. Stop this from happening. So, let's start with Ulrich.
Okay.
Ulrich, my boy, how are you doing as the night has come to quite the scary end?
Stressed. They are definitely very sad that the night had to come to this, and also panicked because the night had to come to this. The temple is getting bombarded by undead, and Ulrich is trying to find the fastest way to said temple, to the roof, to take care of anything and everything that is happening. His mind is going like a mile a minute. Part of him is wondering if he should like whistle for his horse to get there faster, but the other two don't have one, so it'll be too time consuming. things like that.
What's his horse's name?
His horse's name? Oh my god. Oh my god. Oh my god, I had one.
What's
oh
his horse's
fucking
name?
God,
Death
I had
a Saluda.
Oh my god, I had it. I had one too. Fuck. Oh my god.
Watch out, we're gonna give him the worst name ever.
I will have to get back to you on this because I did give him
a you do
I
have
did
it, but somewhere in your many documents.
It's either in the many documents or it's somewhere in the documents in my brain. and we all know that bitch is a fucking mess. So
And we love
we'll
it
get
for
back
that.
To you on
that.
We do.
Silk, are you accustomed to running in heels?
No, but he could do it.
Okay. How is Silk doing as you dash through the streets? People are starting to, like, poke their head out of, like, the taverns are still open late for, like, Founders Festival. How are you doing as you, like, dash through, holding onto your hat and hand on your hip where your gun is?
Silk, when he moved here, never would have imagined something like this would have happened. The lighthouse was already pushing it. So it's... There's a sense of dread kind of welling up in him, wondering, oh god, am I about to live through a tragedy?
Only one set of people can define that, my friend.
Okay.
And lastly, of course, Fiore. Fiore Sunchaser, this is the scariest thing to ever have happened in this town. And you know that for a fact, because you've been keeping track.
He does keep track very well.
Like, this is the worst thing to ever happen to Otari, you're pretty sure. How are you doing, champion?
Well, it's at the very least the worst thing to happen in his lifetime. Fiore is kind of one-track-minded. I think that he is, like, all he can think about is getting there. Like, I think he's gone into, like, I don't know if it's adrenaline. Like, he's just... All he can think about is getting back to the temple before anybody can, like, get really hurt. I don't think he's thinking about anything else. How he'll feel afterwards is up in the air.
Yeah, and I think you were like, Ulrich was talking about trying to find the fastest way back. I think Fjore knows the fastest way back, and I think Fjore is sprinting that in his heavy armor that is like very, it's almost like a bell announcing your presence. People whip their heads to turn and look as the Cambian paladin is just dashing with like probably scimitar already drawn, right?
Yeah.
As you are dashing, and the three of you make your way down towards the beach, and you can see those like undead falling from the cliff onto the building, like I said, droplets of rain smashing into the top and then climbing up. And as you get closer, you see another thing: flashes of sunlight. Sunlight which incinerates these zombies and skeletons, turning them to dust as they fall backwards, deceased. Once more. And as the three of you get there, you see several clerics of Serenray, like, channeling up this sunlight blast and defending their temple, you know? And, like, holy light powers into the undead as they roar in anger, you know? As you start approaching, I think one does lurch out, and it kind of lets out a... And it's this zombified corpse of an old man. And I think he nearly goes for you, Ulrich.
No.
He goes... And goes for your throat. And just before you're able to scream, there is a flash of metal, and the zombie's head tumps onto the floor, and it collapses. And standing there is a dwarven woman. And you might not know her, but Fjore does, as Rumina Sunchaser, one of your moms.
Fiora's like, Mom, is Mama okay? Or is everybody okay?
Rumina looks at you, Fjore, looks at you, Ulrich, and Silk, and nods and says, yeah, we're doing very well. Thank you very much for asking. But they're still coming, and they shall still come. There's another flash of holy light, and Vandy comes around the corner, not wielding a scimitar like her wife, but certainly channeling like the light of Serenray. And she comes over to you guys, holy symbol in hand, and she smiles and says, oh, you must be Ulrich and Silk, right? Oh, it's so nice to meet you at last. Fiora has told me so much about you.
Pleasure to meet you, but unfortunate circumstances.
Most unfortunate. I would love to chat, but... And she turns and you see, like, another zombie collapse on top of a roof and, like, kind of slide down, only for another acolyte to kind of blast it with holy light. And Rumina looks at you and says, do any of you have any idea what's going on?
It's the lighthouse. We went there. That was the dungeon I was telling you about.
But why is it alit?
There's something going on with the light of it.
It was weird. We don't understand it yet.
Vandy bites her lower lip and says, a few of the town guard have already gone up into the graveyard, but I don't know how well they're going to be doing. There's so many of these monstrosities coming out of the ground. You tree, you've already visited the dungeon, and you've done well from what I've understood. I ask you on behalf of Otari, will you go up and try to help?
We'll do everything we can.
Rumina points and says, there's a walkway up to the top from behind the temple, Phrasmus Pat. If you go up it, you'll get into the graveyard within a matter of moments.
Okay.
But I ask that you all be careful.
Always.
Well, thank you.
You can thank me, Rumina says, kind of patting your shoulder firmly, Silk, or honestly, probably more like your back. You are quite tall, she is not very tall, and she is not.
Yeah, I was about to say.
You can thank me when you come back in one piece. How does that sound?
Appealing.
And she nods, and Vandy, before you can leave, she puts a hand on your side, Fjore, and says, Fjore.
Yeah?
And she gets you kind of to kneel with her, and she says, you've always been a hero, and we're always very proud of you. But now, more than ever, we need you to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
Show me your sword.
Here.
She puts her hand on your sword, Fjore, and she closes her eyes and says, I pray now that the light of Serenray blesses your weapon with a holy spirit which will guide you to victory against the undead scourge. And as she does so, Fiore, your sword does glow for just a moment. And this is the part where we talk about the cast feature I didn't reveal before. You've now unlocked a divine ally. Specifically, this one is a...
Blade ally?
A blade ally. A holy spirit of battle has entered your sword on behalf of Serenray. And you get a number of different runes that you can give to your scimitar, which can include shifting, allowing it to shift into other weapons with an action. Ghost touch, allowing it to touch ghosts. But what you've chosen for right now, you can change it every morning because, you know, holy spirits. You've chosen a vitalizing rune, which is especially harmful against undead. Hey, nice call, Dave.
Tee-hee.
And Vandy steps back and says, good luck, Fiore. And good luck, all of you. You're going to need it.
Thanks, Mama.
Do any of you light a torch or cast a light spell or do anything to illuminate yourselves before you go up to the graveyard?
I think Ulrich will cast a light spell. I think Ulrich is actually going to illuminate his loot. It looks like the rising sun, I think. Like the sunlight at dawn.
Ulrich, beautiful, like morning light starts to kind of float out of your loot. And that is enough to give everyone around you vision as you dash into the darkness up Frasna's path towards the Otari graveyard. Because even though there is this white light that's happening around you all, there are still parts of the graveyard which are very obviously not lit. You know?
Hmm.
As you guys rush up to the top, you get to the graveyard. It's quite a beautiful graveyard. As you get to the gates, there's these two giant statues of psychopomps holding scythes for guiding the dead to their final rest. Evidently, that is not what's happened here tonight. The baleful light of the gaunt light glows, and you guys are able to kind of stumble into the graveyard itself. And it's as you're running that you see that there are other people up here indeed. Not too far into the graveyard, you see a set of four town guard. A halfling, a dromar, which is a half-orc, a human woman, and a human man that you all recognize very well as Budrik Wallemeyer. The one you met earlier on in the day.
Oh boy.
And as you guys start jogging towards them, unfortunately, the soil of Otari's graveyard roils and churns in the eerie blue light. Dozens of skeletons and shambling corpses haul themselves free from the ground and rush to the south. Without any hesitation, the walking dead plummet over the cliff's edge to rain down upon the domes of the Dawnflower Library. And you see these guards looking around frantically, and you realize that they're all way over their heads. And there is a lot of undead. From where you are, you can count a whole bunch of them. There's at least five zombies and three skeletons. Mm-hmm. And they are all stumbling out, and now they are lurching towards the town guard, who do not seem particularly capable to fight back. In fact, if you're not lucky, these guards could die. And only you can save them, adventurers.
Oh, right.
Oh boy.
Why don't we roll some initiative real fast?
Okay.
Top of the order is gonna be Ulrich Ravra. Ulrich?
Alright.
As you guys have come down into the path, you see several of these guards are just being accosted on all sides now as the undead shamble fort. And they are not interested in immediately dropping off the side. Not when there's fresh meat to be found. As you're kind of coming to a stop, I think Budrik looks towards you, Ulrich, and sees you and says, Oh, you shouldn't be here. There's undead. Get out of here. He says, basically trembling, like he's going to freak out any second now.
Ulrich, it's very much hidden behind the hood that he's also a little scared. He hasn't really dealt with this before, but he kind of breathes and says, don't worry, we're well equipped for this. We can help.
What do you do to help, Ulrich?
And Ulrich starts playing his lute. Courageous anthem.
Okay, so Ulrich, as the lute music penetrates the blue glow of the gauntlet, and your lute has light cast on it, tell me how this music sounds.
I want to say that this is more of like a heroic ballad, I think, that he's playing.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to inspire heroism and just courage for everyone here, especially the guards, because he knows that they're terrified.
Mm-hmm.
Also, a little bit for himself, but he's not going to say that.
Well, I think it's a stunning image, right? The blue light shining down on this place, and then you with your equally bright lute as you start to play a beautiful ballad of courage. And it's going to give Fiore and Silk, at the very least, a +1 on any of their attack rolls and saves against fear.
Mm-hmm.
You have two actions. What do you do now?
He's going to do a kind of a funny move here. So I need you all to know that this man does everything on beat. He does not skip. he does not falter. Therefore, when he runs up to this undead that's clambering out of their tomb, out of their casket, mm-hmm. there is a slight pause enough to where there is a it sounds fine, but it is a discordant note that plays when he whacks it with the loot.
Thank you, God.
So this skeleton of a warrior, maybe once he was a guard in the Otari himself hundreds of years ago, he pulls himself out of the grave, and his empty sockets stare towards the living guards, and he moves like stop motion. But then he pauses, and he looks the other way, and there's this fucking Empyrean twink holding a fucking lute who just fucking smashes him across the face with it.
Literally from left to right, complete 180, just... gets so bitch slapped with it.
You have a battle loot, right?
I have a battle loot.
And your battle loot, you are holding it, is basically a club, and you are holding it in two hands, and it can smash the fuck out of people. Would you like to smash the hell out of this skeleton for me?
I absolutely would. Please.
Okay, go for it.
I'd also like you all to know that Ulrich does not play his lute in front of people much.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
This is lore.
I'm sure he smashes things in the...
Like I said, from left to right, 180 swing. This man don't know what happened.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Hey, real fast, skeletons don't have a lot of HP. They're skeletons.
Yeah, that's true.
They got 4 HP is the thing. So, hey, that's a nat 20, Luna.
That is a nat 20.
You do get a critical hit card, but I don't know if that... I mean, I guess if it survives, it's off balance.
Yeah.
Because you make him flat-footed until the end of his turn, and yeah, I guess... But let's see how much damage you do.
16.
Christ in heaven. That's 4 times his HP. Luna, how do you destroy the skeleton?
He plays his song. He plays the lute when he's back with Fiore and Silk in formation. And then as he's playing, he basically hops into a sprint, jumps on top of the open casket, and balances on one side, fucking as soon as he's done with his chords, and there's a good timing for a discordant note, he whacks the thing, and its head and probably torso go flying.
So what I'm gonna give you for that nat 20,
and he continues playing after.
I'm gonna give you something for that nat 20.
Okay,
I'll show you in a second.
Okay.
But what I will say for now is, with 16 damage, you absolutely decimate this skeleton.
I love the flavor text in the chat. I'm sorry, they are destroyed.
Yeah, graveyard skeleton takes 16 damage. They are destroyed. Yeah, they fucking are. Its head shattered into pieces. The skeleton collapses back into its tomb permanently. So that's that one out of the way. And is that your turn, Ulrich?
That is their turn.
Holy shit. Next in the order is going to be Budrick. The kind of lieutenant who's in charge of these guards seems to be frozen in place in fear. He is wide-eyed. He is staring, mouth agape, as like these old corpses drag themselves out of the floor. And I'm sorry, fellas. These are the best warriors in town aside from you, and they are unable to do anything.
Oh, no.
But what I will say is because Ulrich just did the sickest shit ever, you will have a plus one on your diplomacy or intimidation rolls to convince them to fight.
Oh.
Because that was really impressive. What you see, though, on Budrick's turn is he's kind of frozen here, and he's like, oh, the dead. Oh, no. Oh, they didn't teach us this in the garrison. And he's clutching his torch as hard as he can, and he's unable to move. So that is going to be their turn. The next in turn is going to be one of the skeletons. And that skeleton is going to take one action to move 25 feet. And like I said, the skeletons almost move, like they move like those old stop motion films. You know the ones?
Yeah.
Like they do not move like a real thing. It's like jaunty and flickering as it moves. It's like da-da-da-da-da. It does not move in a way that a normal living thing would move. How could it? It has no flesh to pull its bones. It spends two actions running up to one of the guards, and then with its last action, it is going to claw at her with its hand. And that is going to be a 20 to hit, which is a hit, and it is going to damage her for a total of 1d4 plus 2 damage. That is 6 damage max to her. The skeleton claws across her face, and she yells and stumbles back, and she's fighting it off by mostly just waving and yelling. I think you realize these guys are a little used to this town having absolutely nothing to do, and this is maybe a little more than nothing. We're going to skip over any turns of the guard because they're all going to be doing the same thing. It is now one of the zombies' turn. Zombies are always permanently slowed, so they only get two actions on their turn.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But this one down to the bottom is only 20 feet away from Budrick.
Bruh.
And is an old woman still wearing her funerary garbs as she leans forward and lets out a and bites down into his side. And that is going to be a miss. Budrick, still with some of his wits about him, goes, ah! And he kind of pushes her away, fumbling to pull out a weapon. Next in the order is going to be you, Silk. Silk? Oh, God. Oh, jeez. Oh, no. You did just see Ulrich crush one's head with his loot. So you are feeling a little bit more confident, and the music's quite nice. He's quite good with that loot. There are gross rotting undead on all sides.
Yeah, that's not hot.
Mm-mm.
Silk's gonna take out his gun.
Okay. I can say you already had it out if you wanted.
Yeah, he probably took it out.
You were rushing into danger. You had your gun out.
Yeah, he knew. Silk's going to aim his gun. And mm-hmm. I checked. Every single one of them is in range.
Okay.
I'm not gonna use my focus spell yet. A little later. I'll save it just in case. But I'm going to cast a force barrage with two actions.
Okay. On whom?
One of these little guys. The one that is. I might have to move, actually. This one
nope,
right here.
No, it's okay.
That just attacked.
You don't have to move, Silk, because force barrage homes in on an enemy.
Oh, right. I have fucking magic. Right.
You have magic. Your bullets can just bend the forces of reality. This shot curves around people. You're like, oh, there's someone in the way. I guess I'll move. No, you don't. You shoot a magic gun at them.
Fuck yes. Okay. I'm using two actions. Oh, no.
Okay.
I'm using... Yeah, I'll use two actions. So okay. That's going to be a... I need a save, don't I?
Nope, no save. It just happens.
Yeah.
Force barrage, you just do damage.
It's
that's
just
so
damage.
Sex and hot. Oh, fuck.
Well, Silk, how much damage does that total?
That's going to be 2d4, so that's going to be 5 and 3, 8.
Hey, Silk. That is double this skeleton's HP. The skeleton that attacked that poor guard is suddenly blown to smithereens as it holds, bam, 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 through its skull, through its hip, through its shoulder. It lets out a loose clatter before it's falling into a pile of bones on the floor. And you have one action left.
Okay. Oh, man. Silk uses his last action to cast Glass Shield. Just in case.
Just in case. Good call. Silk, this beautiful, almost, was it stained glass shield? How did you describe it before?
It was like a kind of glass that reflects stars, even when there are none.
All right, this beautiful cosmic glass forms around you, Silk, and you are protecting yourself from whatever undead might be nearby. And is that your turn?
Yes.
Okay. It is now a skeleton's turn. Another skeleton that you guys couldn't even see lurches out of the dark into the light of the torchlight, and it is moving forward, and it takes three actions to get up to another one of the guards. It's a zombie's turn now. Hey, Silk.
Yeah?
What's that behind you?
Huh?
Hey, Silk. So on the map we're on, you can't see it because it has a on top of the mausoleum, it has a roof. But guess what's right there, buddy? Guess what's on the map right next to you?
Oh, I was wondering God. Whether there's a random-ass icon there.
A zombie lurches out of Shadow Silk, and it's right upon you, and it rumbles. This bloated old man, like his cheeks basically falling off his face. He goes for you, Silk, and that is going to be an attack roll.
No, Silk screams.
Does a 22 hit?
Yeah, 22 hits.
Am I in range to do the...
Hey, so Fiore, I've got great news. Fiore, you are 5 feet away from the zombie shambler.
Yes.
Which means that you are out of range.
Uh-huh.
Except... You did take a feat at level 1 I didn't think would be useful for you, and you've proven me wrong. Because you have ranged reprisal.
Oh, yeah.
When you make a retributive strike, you can move 5 feet immediately towards an opponent. And that would put you in range of this zombie. So, yes, you can just jump forward and attack it before it eats into Silk.
Okay, I'm going to do that.
And, Fiore, your sword is glowing with sunlight as you rush forward.
22.
Oh, my.
Damn.
I have really great news.
Mm-hmm.
A 22 is a crit, specifically because Ulrich cast Rage Phantom.
Oh yes.
That is a plus 10 to hit, and you would not have a plus 10 to hit if Ulrich had not given you that extra plus one.
Thank you.
Teamwork makes the dream work. Roll me that damage. And remember, you have disrupting on this, so you do extra damage to undead, and also every single one of your attacks as a champion is holy, which undead fucking hate.
Oh my.
Jesus 16? Christ. That's the crit damage.
How much damage is that?
16.
Okay.
4 of it is vitality.
Oh my God, it's weak to vitality! Fiore, describe this for me as the Holy Spirit in your blade glows with sunlight and you bring the power of the day to this creature of the night, stopping it from even laying a hand on Silk. And you can cut this thing into as many pieces as you want, by the way.
5.
I don't know.
That was the first number I thought of.
Tell me how that works. Tell me how you do that.
Well, I... You know... You know Fruit Ninja...
Oh no!
You fruit ninja it? You.
My fruit ninja.
There is a trace of glowing light coming from within this thing, and the zombie shambler looks down and goes. Before exploding into pieces. That is literally 21 damage to this thing.
Jesus.
I love being a paladin. Nobody understands how great it is to be a paladin until they kill the undead in one hit.
Hey, Silk. Fiore just did that.
Yeah, holy fucking shit. Silk was like seconds away from like Scooby-Doo jumping into Fiora's arm. Oh my god.
Are you okay?
Thank you.
Anytime.
And that is that zombie's turn. Fiora, it's now your turn. This sword is glowing so bright. There's like rays of sunlight coming off it when you wield it. It's amazing. You feel great.
Fiora is having a complicated time because he feels very cool, but he's stressed out. This is a zombie, right?
Yes.
Fiora is like, stay safe. And then I think he... I do think he is going to move 20 feet.
Okay. So you move 20 feet, you rush to be beside Ulrich, under the dying oak tree, beside these open graves. Near you, there is a couple of guards, and there's a skeleton fighting one, and a zombie fighting dear Budrick.
I think he's going to use the second action to move behind the guy so that he can get closer to the other guys afterwards. Or if there's anybody else. And then he's going to attack.
So you rush up past Ulrich into the guards by these undead and you swing that sword.
Yep. Aw, it's a miss. A 15.
A 15 against a skeleton would be a miss, but it does have its back turned to you because it's menacing that halfling guard, meaning it is off guard and you hit. Roll me that damage.
Oh. 12. Two of that is vitality.
Well. Fiora? Unfortunately, this thing has 4 HP. So how do you destroy the skeleton now?
Jesus.
I think that he stabs in through one of its ribs and goes, like, up to pull apart the skeleton, like, make it fall to bones.
You do that, and the skeleton lets out a before it is just vanquished by you, and it collapses into pieces on the floor, further thinning out their numbers. And you, is that your turn? You spent 2 actions running and 1 action attacking?
That is my turn.
Okay. Well, alas, it's another skeleton's turn, and this one is creeping out from the south as well, lurching 25 feet with 1 action, another 25 feet with 1 action, and oh dear, it's going for Budrick. It's going to swing down and try claw into him.
Oh, my reaction reset. Then he's gonna retributive strike.
And again, he is just out of reach. He's 5 feet away from you. Unfortunately,
die.
Fiora, you spin into action using those holy dances you were taught ever since you were a child, and you cleave into him. Make me that attack roll.
21.
21 is a hit. Roll me that damage.
11. One of that is vitality.
Another skeleton destroyed. Fiora just hates these things.
Fuck you. Fuck you, guys.
Champions are very good at killing undead.
Yeah.
You do this, and Budrick turns and looks at you and says, oh, Mr. Sunchaser, it's terribly dangerous.
I can handle myself.
And that is going to be that skeleton's turn, lol. There's one last skeleton. It is rushing up. It spends 2 actions running towards that lady guard who got clawed before. You know what? No, it's going to go for that Dromar guard. No one has attacked. The skeleton is going to clatter and clack and just start mauling at him, biting down into his neck if it can manage. And that is a hit by 1, and that is 3 damage. That is going to be that skeleton's turn. Top of the order again. Ulrich, it is your turn. As you play that beautiful music, I remind you that if you strike someone, it counts as continuing to cast a spell.
Perfect.
The numbers of the undead have thinned out considerably. You can try to convince the guards to fight, or you can come in and save the day for them. At the moment, it looks like most of them are gone, aside from a small handful now.
He's going to spend his first action to hop from one, hop from like one grave to the other, avoiding the holes. And
oh, I love, he's prancing. I love him.
Prancing in the not so like happy sense, but more so just like, one leg hopping from one grave to the other, hopping to the other side of the grave, then just immediately sprints and whacks another.
In time for the music still. Make me that attack roll.
Absolutely. That is 17.
That is a hit, my friend. Roll me that damage.
9 damage.
Very nice. Ulrich, that is a hit. You, again, fucking baseball this thing into pieces. And your music echoes because of it. Courageous Anthem is extended for another round. And you have one action left. What do you do? This guard next to you looks at you, the Dromar. His mouth is agape. He's like, ugh.
I think he might actually try to convince the other guards. He looks at all four of them and says, "You are the best the townspeople have. You're what stands between them and danger. This might be fearful, I know. Otari hasn't seen anything like this in years, but you have to stand. You need to fight. Think of the forebearers. Think of the Rose Guard. Make them proud."
Holy shit. I was going to make this work on one person. If this works, I'm going to give it to all of them.
Okay.
Roll me diplomacy.
All right. 19.
A 19 against their will DCs, that is a success. Ulrich, as you say these words of encouragement, as bardically as one can, Budrick looks at you, his eyes wide. Then he nods and says, you're right. We're not cowards. We're the Otari Guard. And he turns and he's going to swing his sword into that zombie on his turn now. So, the downside is that these guys are all frightened tree. So they will have quite a low roll. They're not going to be outshining you anytime soon. But as the combat continues, they will do better.
Okay.
Budrick turns. He sees that zombie who's been harassing him. And he goes, "Hia!" And he's going to swing down at it with his, not his sword. He's got a club. He's going to bonk it with it. That's an 18 to hit. And that is going to be 5 damage. He beats at that zombie with a smack and kind of stumbles back, trying to look brave, very obviously scared, but trying is all that it takes to be brave. With his second action, he is going to try again. Bonk. So that's another hit. That's going to be another 1d6 plus 4 bludgeoning damage. Ooh. And this time, that's 10 damage. He's smacking at her. And last action, he's not going to be a moron. He is going to raise his shield. Next in the order, the other Otari guard, the Dromar next to you. And he says, "You're right, for Otari!" And he is going to dash forward towards that same zombie shambler that was fighting Budrick. And he is just going to try bonking him with the club. And that one is another hit for another 8 damage. There we go. As that second club hits, the two of them are bonk, 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 bonk at the shambler, who lets it a final as she stumbles back and lands with a wet pulp onto the floor. Your words, Ulrich, have successfully pushed the Otari guard to fight back against the undead. Well done.
Whee.
This last Otari guard is going to go for... At this point, there's only one undead left. She's going to try come up here. Try smacking it a few times. She says, "For Otari!" And oh no, she doesn't try hit it with a club. She pulls out a crossbow and tries shoot it like that. As she aims and fires, that is going to be a 15 to hit. That is going to be a hit, which does 4 damage to the shambler. She reloads and she shoots again. This time it's going to be a miss. The second bolt buries itself into a headstone right behind the shambler. This fairly young man, all things considered, turns and looks. He goes, and that is going to be her turn. Meaning, Silk, it is your turn. There only remains one zombie shambler in this awful blue light of the gauntlet. No more seem to be rising. What do you do?
I shoot her with my gun.
Okay, how do you shoot her with your gun?
This time I'm just doing it normally, so I am going to have to move, so don't shoot Fiore.
Oh, you're going to shoot with an actual bullet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Silk is going to move a little bit past the tree that he's next, so he has a much clearer shot at her. Silk holds his gun, and he takes an action to twirl it.
You use your pistol twirl. Okay, Silk, you call out to the zombie. The zombie turns and looks at you. What do you do?
Silk, let's make it fancy. Silk kind of actually, the pistol kind of wraps around one finger and jumps in the air slightly before he very gracefully catches it again. And it glints in the light from the lighthouse nearby.
So what does pistol twirl do exactly?
It's basically just feinting an enemy, and it makes them off guard if I succeed.
Now, I would normally... So, zombies are immune to mental, okay? And faint is a mental effect. But I think it's extremely funny, and I like the idea of it just kind of following your gun, like... and then you shoot it.
Big shiny.
It's big shiny. So in this particular situation, against this particular foe, even though it's normally immune to mental effects, I don't think it's meant to be, hey, look at this cool gun. Which way? Shit. You know? I think that does work on the zombie. As it's like, so make me that deception check against its will DC.
Okay.
Oh my fucking God.
You'll never believe it. It's an at 20.
That's why it works on the mindless creature. Okay. Silk, it is completely just mesmerized by your gun glinting and shooting around in the light. It's like, and now you're going to have, because you critically succeeded, it is going to be flat-footed against all your attacks until the end of your next turn. Mm-hmm. But maybe it won't last that long. Maybe that attack roll.
20.
Okay. Silk,
yeah.
That would normally be just a success. Uh-huh. But because it's off guard from you doing a cool trick and from Ulrich's heroic anthem, that's going to be a critical success. And you just create it with a gun, which has the fatal trait, which means your weapon size is about to jump up significantly.
Oh, shit.
Roll me that damage.
That's 14.
Silk Witch Helm, how do you headshot the zombie?
God.
I like to imagine the camera on this shot is right behind the zombie's head. And it's like panned back there. Like, you saw him do like the little pistol twirl and everything. But as soon as he is out of sight, a large, large hole appears. I'll put it nicely through the zombie's head. And you can see Silk on the other side. Blowing smoke from the tip of the pistol.
Ooh, that's a nice frame. Silk, you shoot the hell out of this zombie, and it falls to the floor, defeated, thus destroying all the undead in this graveyard. And you guys have a few moments where you're just with Budrick and the guard. What do you guys do?
I think Fiore pretty immediately is like, okay, who's hurt?
One guard puts her hand up, the girl. She says, I'm actually quite badly. It scratched me real bad.
Ulrich, do you want to take care of this or do you want me to?
I got this, don't worry.
It's all right, you've done far more than enough already.
No, hey, no. You're bleeding and you need your strength. Come here.
Meekly, she goes up to you.
And he, I think in this moment he'll cast Soothe.
Cast me that Soothe and I will give you a hero point for your kindness.
12 healing.
Okay. Ulrich, those kind words you say restore the guard to full HP. Fiore and Silk, how are you guys doing?
I think Fiore is just relieved that nobody was killed. I think he's still on edge. Like, I don't think that he's put his scimitar away or anything. But he's, so I think he's kind of like standing watch just in case something else happens.
I think Silk is shaken, for sure, but I think that Silk is, obviously I'm not gonna have him cast like detect magic because fucking clearly there's some magic here.
Yeah, that light is still powering down on you all.
Yeah, I think he's trying to see if there's just anything he can glean from these zombies.
Would you like to roll me a religion check?
Yes.
Or if you have an appropriate skill, I'll let you roll it too. If you can justify it.
Would occultism count? Because sometimes occultism means creepy dead things.
I will say no in this particular case.
Okay.
I mean, you can roll it, but it won't tell you about the zombies. It'll tell you something, but it won't tell you about the zombies.
Okay. I mean, my religion isn't bad. It's plus 7.
Yeah, that's great. Go for it. Okay. Silk, as you lean down by these destroyed skeletons and zombies, I think you can tell the light did that. Now, obviously, that's clear, right?
Yeah.
The light shone in the graveyard, so therefore it raised them. Cause and effect. But that is a terrifying thing. Let's be clear. Silk, a light miles away was able to raise a couple of dozen creatures from the dead.
Oh my god.
That kind of power is impossible and extremely dangerous. This is not... That's not good.
That's extremely not good. That's like... That's like whispering tyrant levels of not good.
Yeah, it's very bad. And...
Uh-huh? There's more?
You just got a sinking feeling in your stomach, and you don't know what it is as you're looking at them.
Silk stands up straight, and I think he tugs on Fiore's little scarf poncho shawl thing. And he's like, "We need to destroy whatever is in that lighthouse as soon as we possibly can."
I agree.
I think he like shakes Fiore for like a second. He's like, "As soon as we possibly can."
I agree with you. My house is that. He like points towards the temple. He's like, that's I live there. I think he's really worried. The lighthouse had a light that was able to raise the undead. Presumably, it could do it again. So there's that, which is already mm-hmm. worrying. But also, what can it do up close? Mm. And also, who is doing that?
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
Yes.
I think you might be the one who notices it first.
Mm-hmm.
The light is shifting hues. And you feel two things. Something that all of you feel. Number one is goosebumps running up your body as all of your hairs start to stand on end. And number two is a sensation of being watched. And you know with certainty in your heart, Fiore, that something is coming.
Like right now?
Right now. That light is getting more intense.
Something is coming right now.
What do you mean?
I can just feel it. And I think he turns to the guards. He's like, "Are you guys fit to keep fighting?"
Their eyes widen, and they all seem so... All that bravery that Ulrich gave them, whoosh.
If you don't, take refuge and go. I promise you that we can handle it.
Budrick looks at his men and says, We can stay. He tries.
He's like, "You're the town guard. You need to take care of the town."
And Ulrich, as this is being said, suddenly you see something in that light. A shape is manifesting. And the light is getting brighter and brighter around it. And a white silhouette appears in the light. And you are the one who is staring directly at it as it just appears out of thin air in front of you all. And you are the first to get a good look at the monstrosity that now stands in the middle of the graveyard. It is horrifying.
Holy shit. What is that?
I hate video game spiders.
Me too.
It is like a mix between a spider and a crab. It has a head and a thorax covered in spiky armored plate. 6 long crustacean-like limbs. And at those front limbs, instead of having crab claws, they end with like almost mantis-like sides with countless spikes coming around the midsection in all angles like a baseball bat with nails coming out of it. And its head ends in an almost like dune, like a sandworm from Dune's maw, with like split jaws with many fangs and an eyeball on each segment. And this awful monstrosity, you don't know what it is, but it was not there moments ago, and it is coming at you now. And it says,
what the fuck?
And everyone, we're rolling initiative again.
Okay.
Hey, everyone. Voice changer. You like that shit?
I hate it.
It's really good. It's a really good one.
Oh, my God.
Dice Will Roll will return after these messages.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
We now return to Dice Will Roll.
Okay, so let's begin the encounter. Top of the order is going to be this awful creature. And this crab spider is going to scuttle towards you, Ulrich, I'm afraid. Oh. And it says,
Child of the Light, I'm coming for you.
It can talk.
Oh.
And it's going to rush for you, Ulrich, and it's going to spend its first action striking you with one of its leg quills.
I don't think I'm in range.
You are unfortunately not within range, Fiore. What that is going to be is a 23 to hit, Ulrich. Is that a hit?
That is a hit. That's a hit.
Okay. Well, it is going to it's going to do 2d4 plus 5 piercing damage into you.
Ooh,
that's 11 damage into you.
Allie.
And then it's going to kind of roar at you again, like a... And it is going to bite this time.
Fuck.
And that is going to be a 24 to hit, babe.
Oh, that hits again.
Oh, no. That's going to be 2d8 plus 5 piercing damage. That's 11 piercing damage.
Oh.
And Ulrich, I need you to make me a fortitude save, please.
Oh, 18.
That's a fail, I'm afraid.
Fuck. Bard's not known for their fortitude.
Ulrich, as this thing bites into you, its awful maw, you feel something pumping into your... Like, your wound stings. And as you pull away, you are dizzy. You are stumbling around. You are unfortunately clumsy for one turn.
Okay.
And this could get bad if you're not careful. It is now your turn.
Oh, God.
Oh, God is right. This monster, it, like, again, it is as big as a cow. And it, like, as you are fighting back and pulling away, it says,
Giving child oblivion.
Not now. Not yet. And he unfortunately doesn't have another focus point.
Oh no. Oh no.
So there's no Courageous Anthem.
Courageous Anthem does not take a focus point.
Oh, it doesn't?
Courageous
okay.
Anthem is a focus cantrip. No focus point needed.
Oh my god. Oh my god, thank god. He's gonna cast it again. He still has his loot out. Oh my god, he still has his loot. He still has his loot.
Me when I get bit by a giant monster spider, like, it's time for fucking music, man.
He's just gonna really panicked. Like, he still has, like, at least a hand on it. So he still, like, plucked at the strings. And, Courageous Anthem activates. Then he's gonna fucking whack at it. Question mark?
Okay, go for it.
21.
Hey, if you had not cast Courageous Anthem, you would have missed that.
Holy shit.
Holy shit.
Ulrich, you bat into this creature. Roll me that damage.
7.
Bonk! You slap into it. And it barely looks phased at all. Uh-oh.
Ulrich looks to the guards. Looks to the others and says, "You need to go now."
Budrick takes one look at this monster, then looks back at you and says, "We'll go report this."
Yeah.
And Ulrich, that is gonna be your turn.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, is it? It is. Wait.
Well, two.
No, you have one action left. You have one action left.
One action.
Sack him again, or run. Maybe run. That might be good.
I think Ulrich is actually going to. Grab the hand of the woman that he healed and bring the two of them 25 feet fucking away from this thing.
Okay, so you grab this lady and you...
We're gonna go probably, like, circle at least around the mausoleum.
Okay, so you're gonna hide behind the mausoleum for cover.
Yes.
Good idea. If it comes get you, which it might, you'll have a bonus to your AC for this.
Yep.
Very nice. Well done, Ulrich. Silk, it is now your turn. Oh no. Oh no. Hey, good news. You didn't use your focus point last fight.
Good call. Good fucking call.
Bad news. Did you reload your weapon?
Do I need to for my focus spell one?
Nope, not for your focus spell one, but if you want to shoot any regular rounds into this thing, you would.
I haven't yet.
You got three actions, Silk, as you stare in horror at this monster, which is now kind of like cackling, says,
"Run away, children of the light. You can't get away from me."
Oh my god.
Hand of the apprentice.
Go for it. Shoot him.
Hero point.
Hey, if you hadn't got Courageous Anthem, that would have been a crit fail.
Oh, yay. So it's 23?
A 23 is going to be a hit.
Okay.
Thank you, Hero Point.
Thank you, Hero Point.
Holy shit.
That is going to be... Roll me that damage as you shoot him with your arcane gun.
So that's going to be 8.
It looks injured, but not injured enough. Oh no, is what you're all thinking right now.
Jeez.
Two actions. One. You've got two actions left.
So I have two actions left, yes. Oh god.
You also, I will remind you, you still have some spells, but most of your spells aren't damage ones.
Yeah, I know.
Uh-oh.
Ignition.
Okay. Describe this for me as you shoot a gout of flame into this thing.
I think that I think he has specific things that he does with his gun when he casts specific spells, and I think for ignition, it's hitting the kind of back flint of it twice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very nice.
And from his gun... just a stretch of fire pours out and towards this thing.
Okay, well, make that spell attack roll. And remember, because you already made an attack roll, that will be a -5 on this attack on this spell attack.
Aye, Cap'n.
11.
Oh no.
Unfortunately, Silk, that is going to be a crit fail on a spell attack roll.
Fuck.
Which means I'm pulling a fumble card.
Fuck. All right.
And you rolled... It's so sparkly. You are blinded until your next turn.
Oh, boy.
I love it.
Silk, in your panic, you aim your gun, you take a shot, and flash of fire. It misfires in your face, and suddenly everything is stars. And... Oh, you cannot see. How's Silk doing?
Bad. He, like, grabs at his eyes. His hat probably falls off. Not fun. Panic.
Bad time for this to happen, huh?
Extremely bad time.
Well, Fiore, you are undead slaying king. Shall you go fight against this beast?
Of course. Fiore, pretty immediately, I think, he's going to run towards the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's going to attack the strange monster that I have no name for.
Mm-hmm.
25.
A 25 is a hit against this thing. Roll me that damage.
7?
7 damage. Fiore, your scimitar cleaves into this thing, and I think you realize with a start.
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't it screaming in unholy pain?
Oh, no.
The power of the sun has no effect on a creature of the depths, boy.
Fiore's gonna raise his shield, and he's like, steel still works.
Take a hero point for that, my friend. That's a good one. That's good. But yeah, you realize this isn't undead. So what the hell is it?
Okay.
So you raise your shield, boosting your AC, which real fast, a good call. A very good call. It is now its turn. And what it does is it pulls back and it closes its mouth and it goes... And then when it opens its mouth, it spews toxic ooze over everyone. And that is going to be a 15-foot cone. It's going to hit Fiore and Silk. Both of you need to make me a fortitude save, please.
Fitting.
Bruh.
Very fitting, huh?
Oh, no.
18.
The blinded fucking wizard rolls a nat 1.
Oh, no.
He's like, I don't even know what's happening right now.
Oh, dear. Fiore, you take 13 damage. And then, Silk, you're going to take 4d8 poison damage. And that's going to be 21 damage. And both of you are covered in this weird... Oof. How are you doing, bud?
3 HP, baby!
Holy shit.
Oh, no. Fiore, how are you doing, bud?
Fiore is at, I believe, 28? Let me... Yes, 28.
Silk, you are fucking stumbling back. You didn't see that coming. You took that hard.
Yeah.
But Fiore, you notice something as it spews at you. Yeah, it's gooped you up. But you saw some of that poison splashing near Budrick, who is, again, retreating with his guards. Some of that poison catches into fire, and the fire on his torch explodes. He's okay. He just goes, ah! And he drops the torch. But you very quickly put together, oh no, I'm covered in flammable liquid now. Be very fucking careful, my friend. With its last action, this awful monster, it like cackles and says,
glory to the depths below and to the depths above. Together they shall claim all.
It's going to try attack you, Fiore, with its leg quill. Hutcha!
Hutcha!
And that is going to be a 19 against you.
A 19 does not work.
Okay. So it misses. It lets out a hiss and a snarl and a few burbles, but that is its turn. Ulrich, it is your turn. You peek out from around a corner. Most of the guards are running away. The one that you took is hiding with you and says, is it still out there? She asks as it's screaming and roaring.
It's still out there, but if you can make it, it's distracted by us. You can run, I'll make sure to cover you. As he takes out his bow and arrow.
Okay. So you are going to use the swap action to put away your loot and take out your bow and arrow.
Yes.
Okay, you have it in your hand. You are far away from it. And from around this corner, you got a pretty clear shot. What do you do?
Ulrich might actually take a second to... they're going to assess the situation.
Okay.
And in assessing the situation, they see... Oh, God, Silk. Another soothe is gonna go out.
Okay.
10 healing.
Okay, Silk, how are you looking? As what, Ulric, what do you say to Silk? Carrying your words with magic.
Stay safe and stay as far away from this thing as possible.
You got it. Like, Silk's like running around fucking blind still.
That was two actions, so I think that's their turn, because the swap action is just an action, right?
The swap action is just an action, yes.
Yeah, so, and Sooth takes two, so that is his, that's his turn.
Okay. Ulric, you're very brave in helping Silk like that. Ulric, will you make me another fortune save now as your turn ends?
Alright. 23?
Ulric, you are so lucky. That is a success, which means you are not slowed on your next turn.
Okay.
Hey, this, whatever's in your blood right now, it's not good. It is now Silk's turn. Silk, you are blind.
I want to see so bad.
So you can't see. All normal terrain is difficult terrain to you. You can't detect anything using your vision. You automatically critically fail perception checks. All creatures around you are, like, hidden from you. So you know, you can get vaguely figure out where they are because you can hear them roaring, but you can't accurately hit them. If you were to make an attack roll against any of them, they would have to make, you would have to make a flat check to even hit. Okay?
Okay.
So attack rolls, not your best plan of action right now. Now, I will remind you as well, just in case, you do have Drain Bonded Item. It is a free action which restores a spell slot once per day per spell rank. You got your Persistent Servant, by the way. He's been here the entire time.
Not very helpful in combat.
No. Maybe there's a cow nearby he can milk.
Yeah.
Right. That was last session, guys. We were having a great time last session. Milking cows and crafting hats. How are we doing?
God damn.
Having
it.
A great time in another direction.
Thank you. That means a lot. All right, Silk, what do? You got three actions.
I fucking guess. Yeah, sure. Fucking. You know what? Three action force barrage. Let's just get rid of my first ranks.
So, force brush, three actions, right? Why is it in that one?
Son of a bitch.
Oh, right. You don't have, no, sorry. Oh, it was to see. Oh, it auto rolls to see if you can attack a hidden creature?
That's pretty cool.
That's great. It doesn't matter here because it automatically hits. So, Silk, I think you're pointed in the wrong direction. But force barrage is a homing missile.
He pulls a fucking Terezi.
He's like, at Ulric. Ulric's like, oh, God.
Oh, God.
Silk, you turn, you're, like, waving your gun wildly, wiping this, like, Dilophosaurus goop out of your eyes, and you shoot randomly.
I like to think that he literally is, like, kind of squat down a little bit, and he just shoots wildly into the air above his head.
Mm-hmm. For a guy who hates being dirty, this is hell. You're in hell. You're in hell.
He's in absolute hell right now.
So, tree actions, you're going to roll me tree force barrages. So that's going to be 1d4 plus 2, 3 times. So just roll me that damage.
17.
Holy shit! That's 2 fours in a tree!
Woo!
Okay. Silk, how does this work? Tell me about this.
The shots do, in fact, like, fly straight up, like, flares. But then I think that they all kind of converge as they arc very quickly in the sky and shoot straight down at this motherfucker, kind of spinning around with each other, and just bam, 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 all at once.
And I think that really hurts this thing. It takes 17 damage as you shoot into it over and over again with these magic-like blasts, and it is cracked a little bit, and it's starting to stumble, and lets it
creature, I will suck your bones dry of their marrow.
But it's not doing well, which is great, because Fiore, come on, Champion of Justice, it's your turn. This thing is not looking great. You are fighting it off despite everything. What do you do?
I think he's going to cast Ignition. Well, he's not trying to, but he's going to cast Ignition.
So your sword kind of catches with that black flame scorching up and sending the smell of sulfur through your nose.
Yes. Mostly because I don't think he's thinking, and he never chooses to cast these spells. They just happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So make me that Ignition melee attack.
21.
A 21 is just a hit. Roll me that damage.
14 fire damage.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, he takes that. And Fiore, as your unholy fire catches into this thing, you see something. It explodes with flame too. And it lets out a hiss as it stumbles back, roaring. And you realize that oil that's coating you is now is also coating it. It's weird. Flammable. And it takes an extra 5 damage from that attack.
Oh, hell yeah.
And he is stumbling back and he lets out And the monster seems almost slain, Fiore. You're doing this. You're taking it out. What do you do?
I'll give it one more try. It's risky, but
this would be at a -5.
I know. I looked at it. I checked. Mm-hmm.
Come on,
I don't think it'll hit, but if it hits, it hits, you know?
Yeah. Big money, no whammy.
Can I use my other hero point? Thank you. I'd like to use my hero point. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, because that would have been a crit fail, not one, bud.
I'd like to use my hero point. Thank you.
This is your hero point you got for saying a cool line. Let's go.
21.
That is literally just its AC.
Oh, wow. 10 damage.
Fiore, Sun Chaser, how do you defeat the horrible monster that appeared in your town, intent on dooming everyone within?
I think Fiore sees both of his friends in immediate danger, and I don't think he's really... Well, I think he's fighting maybe a little recklessly, but I think that he sort of jumps up to, try and get it, in the head, to, stab into its head.
I think, Fiore, you are able to push through the plating in its head and pierce in, and it lets out a final before it is defeated and it falls into a pile on the floor. And just like that, the light of the gauntlet flickers out, and the only thing left illuminating you all is Ulrich's loot.
Ulrich comes out from behind the mausoleum and is still stumbling, so he's clutching onto the side, trying to keep himself upright.
You're limping out from behind. Ulrich, you're still bamboozled. Silk, you're wiping ooze out of your eyes. Fiora, you're standing off this awful thing, whatever it is.
Can Silk see again?
Yeah, Silk, you've wiped it out of your eyes. You're good. You are covered in ooze, though.
Ugh. He kind of stands up and is like, I hate this.
Let's heal. Are you okay? I'm sorry.
No, don't apologize. You had a better chance. You had a better chance with that thing than us. And I think Ulrich looks over at the monster and says, "What in the hells was that thing?"
Well, it wasn't undead.
Would you guys like to roll me occultism? Oh shit, no, Silk knows what it is. That's a nat 20. Silk has specifically read up on this thing before. Silk knows okay. All about these. Silk, you've probably studied them in detail, which is why seeing it here was such a fucking shock. Because that, my friend, is a Scalatrax. And a Scalatrax is not from around here. These slippery, scaly horrors dwell in remote cave networks in the Darklands. This massive cavern of networks that leads to the center of the Earth, miles below the surface.
What the fuck?
They nest in narrow fissures, and when they hunt, they flick barbs from their long legs or spray down their foes with a clear toxic oil. The same oil coats the Scalatrax's body, all of which is quite flammable, whether it's coating a victim or the Scalatrax itself. Obviously, even though it appears feral, it is very intelligent and speaks in that awful voice that you heard. The vast majority of Scalatraxes are foul-tempered and quick to anger, and most of them enjoy killing. So, that was fun.
Yeah, you guys are like, what the fuck was that? And Soka's like, that thing is from the Darklands.
And it just appeared here.
So graciously.
It came from the lighthouse. And we know that the lighthouse goes underground. We saw those stairs that were covered by the rubble.
Do you think it really goes that low?
Maybe.
I wouldn't exactly know until we try it, right?
Yeah. I don't suggest we go that deep immediately, though.
Believe me, I'm not ready for that again.
This feels big, though, and really dangerous.
Extremely. Which means as soon as we can, we need to go back.
I don't suggest we go back tonight.
Ulrich takes one of his anti-plagues out and goes, not going to. Not tonight.
I had meant for you to meet my parents in a more nice situation.
Perhaps we can all have tea when this is all over, but really, we do need to find a way to make sure that doesn't happen again.
I don't know that there's anything that we can do immediately. We'd need to go back there, and all of us got hurt. None of us have slept, and it's nighttime.
Just as soon as we're able to. That light deserves a lot more of our attention than I previously thought.
We're definitely going to have to talk to Rin.
The Kirk's Nook as well. They had people there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Could be at least a little worthwhile to find out why there were salmon cakes there.
Yeah.
I need to wash off immediately.
And still kind of stands up straight.
That's fair.
For now, would you guys like to head your way back down for Asma's part, back down to the temple?
Yeah.
Yeah, and while they're walking, Ulrich is dressing and healing his wound with bandages and the anti-plague.
Well?
He can still be precedentating himself.
Poor Silk. You just had to play in the wettest and nastiest of campaigns, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, you three limp your way down Forestman's path back to the Dawnflower Temple. And you see that you are not alone when you get down there. Because something I don't think you were expecting is waiting for you. A crowd. A crowd of people from Otari. Merchants. Farmers. You see familiar faces among the crowd. There's Keelno Latinar, the man in charge of the Otari market. Old Ginny Rumwall, the owner of the Drunken Dragon. There's Rin Sivinksi, in the crowd, eyes wide. And as you all limp your way down, you see those four guards that you saved. And they turn and point, and Budrick Willowmire says, Those three are the ones who saved us! They're the real heroes here! And the people of Otari begin to clap and cheer for you. Heroes! 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 Heroes!
Oh gosh. And Ulrich kind of tugs down at his hood a little bit.
How are you guys doing with the attention as you come down these stairs, half beaten to death?
Silk smiles, but he is so fucking angry that he doesn't look his best for a crowd of people cheering for him. So fucking pissed. And he forgot his hat up there.
Oh my god, no. You'll go get it. Your Phantasmal Minion! Sorry, Silk. The Phantasmal Minion gets it for you.
Oh, yeah, it floats down eventually.
Not before the crowd sees you.
Damn it.
I think Viore is, like, I think he's, like, excited and happy that people are, you know, like, cheering for him. But I think he's, like, it's, like, the tired, like, okay. Like, that kind of deal. I think he's very happy, though.
And standing there, coming out of the crowd, comes Mayor Menhims. And Osef Menhims says, is it true? Did you three save the town of Otari from those undead and the monster these men are describing?
I suppose so.
Then you three are truly the heroes of this town. And the new Rose Guard. And he smiles, and I think he pats. Who's in front? Who's up front?
I think Fiore was walking in front.
Okay, well, Fiore, you get a very hearty, like, he takes your hand and he shakes it firmly. And it's a, hey, Silk, your handshake was firm? Fiore, holy shit, this guy's handshake is firm. He says, you have done this town a great honor. Miss Sivinksi here, he turns and Rin says, hi. Says that you've already explored some of the dungeon from whence this light came, the gaunt light of old. Is this true?
Yeah.
And he kind of bows his head a bit and nods, like he's trying to put together like what he's thinking. And Rin says,
I told you, I did tell you. My hollow reading said something bad was coming. Did I not tell this? I foresaw it in the cards.
Yes, Rin, you did tell us in the cards.
It is most dangerous for me to be out here. So many buildings here have corners from which the hounds can come.
Right. It's okay. I will protect you from any hounds.
Before she can say anything more strange, Mermen steps forward and he clears his throat. And he looks very serious as he speaks and says, Brave heroes, I hate to reward a victory with a request, but you three have already done something even our brave members of the Otari garrison were unable to do. You fought off the undead and the abominable alike. And for that, I must request. Will you save Otari? What has happened here tonight can happen again. We don't know when, but the monsters that were risen from the ground and beamed in through thin air, we don't know when it could happen ever again. I beseech you, on behalf of our humble town, and he gestures to all these people you see, the Sun Chasers, Rin, Carmen Rajani, Tanali Tandervale, Jala Highstepper, all these people that are alive because you saved them from the zombies coming down, and whatever the Skeletrax really was, he looks at you and says, We can't save this town, but you can. Will you enter the Gauntlet again and ensure it never shines upon our town?
You don't need to ask.
It's already on our minds.
Yeah. I believe we're fairly capable enough.
He nods and says, And so it is. And everyone? Quest accepted. Save Otari. After the horrors of the 500 Founders Festival, an event now dubbed the Dead Tide, Otari now needs your aid, Dungeon Delvers. You slew the awful undead and a dreadful abomination, and perhaps only you can enter the Gauntlet and stop it from ever happening again. Will you save Otari, heroes? And he nods and says, If you do so, I can promise you all 50 gold worth of treasure from the town treasury. Which is quite a lot.
Done.
For people of... And he nods and says, What shall we call you in Legends, adventurers? The Dungeon Delvers? The Heroes of Otari?
Let's keep it catchy. How about...
Like, thinks. He, like, puts his finger up to his mouth and taps it.
How about... Ooh, the Fogfen Few.
Ah, that's cute.
Tinky nods like it makes sense. And I want to point out, we did not have this prep. Ritz, you hit me with that in the middle of the session. Be like, hey, what about this name? I was like, what the fuck? That's really good.
It's the only time I'm able to do that.
It's just off the cuff? You keep doing this, by the way. You keep coming up with party names just out of nowhere. Be like, oh, what about this? Like, huh?
I never think about a party name for more than like 2 minutes.
And it works. Regardless. So take a hero point for coming up with an incredibly good name.
Could have used that earlier.
I really... You should have named the party earlier. Maybe in the middle of the fight, Silk should have said, I think we should be the Fogfen too. And I'd be like, take a hero point.
Sure.
Mayor Menhims nods and says, The Fogfen Few. All right. Adventurers, please. Save the town of Otari. And you shall go down in legend, as did the Rose Guard. And as you all accept his terms, Ulrich, you return home in the night to your parents, who hug you and ask if you're all right, and make sure, like, baby you, treat your wounds, and honestly are a little bit suffocating in their concern for your wounds. Fiore, you make your way back to the Dawnflower Temple, where your mothers listen to you as you tell them what you saw. And they say a prayer for you in thanks to Saren Rae for sending that spirit to bless your weapon. And Silk, as the crowds have dispersed, you quietly walk down the road, down Griffin Street towards Snitch Street, where you unlock the doors to an expansive mansion. You silently close the door after you. And with that, you prepare for your adventure tomorrow, where you will all enter the forgotten dungeon and uncover its secrets. This episode of Dice Will Roll would not have been possible without the support of our patrons. A Potato, Derpy Gamer 13, Quinlan Boss, Princess Alivy, Emily is Gay, Dexton, Meowmai, Abigail Wallet, Knight the Werewolf Teacher, Ashley, Actually a Bot, Violet, Seraphine, Kyle Damon, Soul Grease Lobo, Phoebe Jeebies, Daisy Gilliam, Lux Rexus, Better Than Stormcrow, Sam Stryker, Tony Saunders, Mita, Arave, Belmonts, Marshmallowberry, Ferric Falcon, Luis Loza, Ares, Alexander Crizzle, May Cohen, Skyly, Genuinely Tricked, Transgirl Trish, Bal Punyon, Johnny the Catman, Matthew Wilson Krasovich, Tillon Shark, Glitch HD, Jace Snooks, Jonathan Love, G Barbera, Luke, Clown, Sarah B, Seth, Kira, Lichelope, Gizmo, Katz, Fable McElduff, Ava, Remty Bright, Lonesome Chunk, Steph, Sean C, Natasha Lumley, Rhiannon C, Ellie, Jenna Mitchell, Kane Kendrick, Sky Evangeline, Triceratops, Anna Maria, Jordan, Emily Laderna, John DeBoecorder, SS66 Seeker, and Dame Valor the Third. If you'd like to see what you can get for helping us keep it rolling, check out patreon.com/dicewillroll today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.